This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. And here are the headlines from some stories we're following here today at NPR News. The CEOs of the big three U.S. automakers are back in Washington today. They drove in hybrids. They've been making their case before Congress for a $34 billion rescue package to help them stay afloat. And Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke today sought more government efforts to stem home foreclosures. He outlined a number of options to reduce preventable foreclosures, including a plan that would allow distressed homeowners to refinance into more affordable, federally insured mortgages. Details on those stories and, of course, much more later today on All Things Considered. Tomorrow it's Science Friday, and Ira Flatow will be here for the latest on the UN climate talks in Poland, plus by Antarctic ice sheets may slide into the sea faster than we thought, and Physics 101 for President-elect Obama. That's all coming up tomorrow on Talk of the Nation Science Friday. If you listen to NPR regularly, chances are you've heard the funding credits, 10-second acknowledgments of contributions to NPR by a company, a foundation, or in some cases, a government agency. NPR's ombudsman has received a lot of emails and phone calls about this one.
From the Department of Homeland Security, offering E-Verify, confirming the legal working status of new hires at dhs.gov/e-verify.
In just a moment, we'll talk with Alicia Shepard, NPR's ombudsman, about that funding credit. Some listeners have told her it's not a good fit for NPR or even racist, and they've asked if funding credits influence NPR's programs and reporting. If you have a question for the ombudsman about NPR funding credits, give us a call. Our phone number, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. Go to npr.org, click on Talk of the Nation. And with us here in Studio 3 is Ombudsman Alicia Shepard. Nice to have you back on Talk of the Nation today.
Nice to be here.
And the complaints about the E-Verify, well, I know you looked into it.
Yes. I looked into just, this was a chance, Neil, to explain what funding credits are to listeners. But also, as you mentioned, some of them were unhappy with this particular one. And I think it largely stems because behind it is the issue of immigration. And this particular program, E-Verify, is an electronic database that combines DHS numbers and Social Security numbers and is a way to verify that somebody can work legally in the United States. It is really no more than an extension of the I-9 paperwork that one has to fill out when one is hired at a job. But this program has about a 96% accuracy rate, i.e. somebody could put their name in and their Social Security number, and 4% might get back one saying, no, you're not legal, when in fact you are. And so there are potentials for abuse. But you have to just look at the issue of what is a funding credit.
Okay. And what is a funding credit?
And in some ways, it is not unlike an advertisement, but in public radio, it is called a funding credit because it differs from advertisements in that it is a neutral naming by a corporation or a foundation. It's not asking you to do anything. It's not saying we have the biggest or the best or anything. And it's only 10 seconds long. And I'm told by the people in underwriting that NPR listeners are comfortable with, by and large, with NPR funding credits. They're vetted, and they are used as a way of getting revenue. And how much revenue? Well, I did check on that. And about 50% of NPR's revenue comes from corporations and foundation and then investments funding credit. The other 50% comes from listeners who donate to their local stations.
And in the controversy, and this is a controversial funding credit, if you were the Ku Klux Klan, could you take a funding credit out on National Public Radio?
No, there are bylaws, things that restrict what they can and can't take. For the two that are clear in the bylaws are guns and cigarettes. NPR does take funding credit from alcohol companies.
And one other aspect that is different between a underwriting credit and advertising is you can't say, as you mentioned, come on down and this is and you know buy this.
This week only,
you know,
we've got a special
no call to action. And these funding credits are read by neutral announcers. The guy you hear on the air all the time is by a guy by the name of Frank Tavares.
And he is a non-journalist, and I think NPR uses him regularly so that he is branded as the person who's doing the funding credits.
And when NPR journalists report on E-Verify, the one that's been controversial here, they're encouraged to mention that NPR received funding from this particular program. Here we have an example. NPR's Jennifer Ludden mentioned E-Verify earlier this week in a story that she did.
The Department of Homeland Security has aggressively encouraged businesses to consult a federal database to check workers' legal status. It's a program called E-Verify, which DHS promotes in a number of ways, including funding credits on NPR.
That's immigration correspondent Jennifer Ludden from a piece on workplace raids, which aired on All Things Considered on Tuesday. And it's interesting. NPR also gets a bunch of underwriting money from people who publish books and movies. And we don't necessarily report that, this Bob Mondello reviewing Quantum of Solace and they're among our funders. I'm just making that up. I don't know if they are or not.
This is, I think, something that I would suggest that NPR be more consistent about. And I think that this particular issue of the E-Verify credit has brought a lot of attention. And I think it's something that now NPR needs to look at. Are they going to be consistent? And every time there's a funding credit for which there's a story, do they need to disclose that? I mean, I'm independent of NPR. I don't have any role in administering and creating or demanding policy. But I do think that one of the most important things in the news business is consistency.
So if they do it in the E-Verify context, we should probably do it in all those contexts.
Yes, I definitely think so.
Let's see if we get some listeners in on the conversation. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. And we'll begin with Phil. Phil on the line with us from Jackson in Ohio.
Yes, I'm here. I just didn't know if you had any comments about other shows on NPR. One time I had called Car Talk, and then you get a recording, and then they call you back. But I'd asked about gasoline at a price where the gases were $4 a gallon. And, kind of just said, talk to us about it. And kind of indicated I was against ethanol and wondered what their opinion about ethanol was. And they didn't call back, which I could understand because I'm sure they get hundreds or thousands of calls. But a couple of weeks later, I heard that one of their sponsors, and I don't know the exact name, but it was something like the Ethanol Association of America. And I wondered if that would prevent them from saying anything bad about ethanol.
Well, they are, one should point out quickly, that Car Talk is not a production of NPR News. It's another division of the company. And, well, why don't you talk about this firewall concept?
Yeah, this is a great time to bring this up. And there is a firewall. It is a metaphorical firewall that exists between the news side of a news organization and the advertising or underwriting side of the revenue-producing side. And I realize that everyone in the news business is very comfortable with this, which means that reporters go about their business. They're not reading the paper or listening to funding credits and thinking, gee, I ought to do a story on the ethanol because there's a credit and we need to make them want to come back. I mean, that just doesn't happen. But, gee, it is a big leap of faith to ask listeners who don't live and breathe the news business as I do and Neil does and others, to believe that this funding credit really, this firewall really, really does exist. And so if they get a credit for ethanol, that's because they've met the NPR guidelines for underwriting credit, which I do have on my website, npr.org/ombudsman. And the current column up there about E-Verify has the credit guidelines if anyone's interested in looking at them.
We should also point out we play underwriting announcements on Talk of the Nation every day. I don't know what they are. We get a list that we're supposed to plug in every day, and our director here plugs in the code numbers, and I think, theoretically, we could find out what they are, but the fact of the matter is, we don't know.
Right.
All right. Thanks an awful lot.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Phil. Let's see if we can go now to Kevin, and Kevin's with us from Bucks County in Pennsylvania.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. It's been a concern of mine, and it's a problem that I am no longer contributing to your fund drive because of your advertising for the Anheuser-Busch company, knowing its direct connection to the family and society and the destruction to the American way of life, this alcohol, this this blood of Christ, this Jesus juice, I think Michael Jackson called it.
Kevin, would you not buy a newspaper for the same reason if they had advertising?
I would never buy a newspaper for the exact same reason.
Okay. Well,
and
you understand
that... I will no longer continue to contribute to the radio station as long as they advertise so flagrantly and blatantly about Anheuser-Busch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, America's number one red, white, and blue selling beer.
We also got a lot of complaints in previous years over underwriting announcements for Walmart. So people felt objected about this that company's
Walmart
policies.
Walmart has a direct connection to violence in the family, to the auto accidents, to the deaths of so many who don't even drink themselves. You know, alcohol is a direct connection to much destruction in our country, and everyone knows it. You'd have to be blind not to see the daily reports of police officers being run over by drunken drivers. I mean, how many children and families need to be affected by alcohol before people start thinking about it again and realizing there's another way to make your money? I mean, you're not advertising crack dealers, are you? No, but even though alcohol kills more people than all illegal drugs put together, you will continue to advertise for Anheuser-Busch. It's so sad that your radio station has chosen to take their money.
Kevin, thank you.
Thank you. It's interesting that he did bring up alcohol because there used to be more of a prohibition against alcohol.
There used to be a strict prohibition against alcohol advertising and underwriting on radio and television.
Right. And so there is against cigarettes, but NPR decided that, and along with other guidelines in the industry and FCC, they get together and determine what the guidelines will be, that it is okay to name a product, say Grey Goose Vodka, which was a previous funder, but not to extol anything about its virtues. But that does not really speak to Kevin's just personal disagreement with alcohol.
We're talking
and understandable.
We're talking with NPR Ombudsman Alicia Shepard. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And here's an email from Paula in Tucson, Arizona. Why in the world is Homeland Security or any government agency giving money, taxpayer money, to somebody for advertising? I guess that's a question for Homeland Security.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, let's face it. It would be great if NPR could be totally funded by listeners, and then this would not even be an issue, and it would truly be run by the public. But it is still a corporation that, while it's a nonprofit corporation, it still has people who work here and a budget and salaries. And so it is necessary that they take corporate underwriting. And there's more corporate underwriting than there is foundation underwriting.
Let's get Patrick on the line. Patrick from Beloit, Wisconsin.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. Maybe I'm just misinformed about where the funding for public radio comes from. You listed the on-air credits and then corporations, but isn't there not a taxpayer money as well that goes to it otherwise? And I will take my other comments off the air.
Okay, Patrick, thank you.
Thanks, Patrick. It is fascinating. I think people believe that NPR personally gets a lot of money from the federal government. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting gives out money to the individual public radio stations around the country. And NPR gets about 1 or 2% of its budget from grants but the money actually goes to the public radio stations who use it to upgrade equipment, to improve distribution systems, or to purchase NPR programming.
Let's see if we can get Jack. Jack's on the line from Hood River in Oregon.
Hi. Following on the last comment, I don't think the public is aware, all this moralism aside, of how much federal funding has dropped for public radio stations and, by inference, NPR. I'm associated with a local public station that does jazz, not a nonprofit. And part of the problem here, I think, is that the public doesn't realize that under this administration, and particularly the policies that FCC has put forth, there has been a tremendous drop in the amount of public funding that's available to people like NPR and public television. And I just don't think the public's aware of the tremendous need. In a time of economic need, individuals aren't going to be able to give. The government is, but they are not. So I'll take the answer off the air.
Okay, Jack, thank you.
Well, I don't really have a specific answer, except that I'm sure all the public radio stations out there are happy to have you say that, Jack.
Let's get to one last call. Grant. Grant with us from Sacramento in California.
Thank you for taking my call. Although I have a particular concern about guns and weapons of mass destruction and companies who make them, much the same passion as this fellow who spoke about alcohol, I was wondering if in general, NPR does have or could do policy in which those of us who do contribute to public radio in some form could at least indicate our general moral ethics around which you could respond to, so that there is some discrimination further that takes the listener's views into account.
Well, you donate, when you donate money, you do not donate directly to National Public Radio. You do it through your local station. And so you could do it that way, or you could contact the ombudsman at npr.org and then the contact us. And I definitely, my job is to be an advocate or a representative for the public. So when I get, as I did in this case with E-Verify credits, a number of emails indicating that people are not, that some people are not happy with this credit, I make sure that they know about that.
Have there been examples where NPR pulled funding credits?
There was one example, which was the government of Kuwait. And interestingly, that was because the government of Kuwait wanted to mark the 10th anniversary of the liberation of Kuwait from Iraq by U.S. forces. Right now, there's a policy, as I understand it, to not take money from a foreign government unless it has to do with tourism or economic development.
Okay. Grant, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Alicia Shepard is NPR's ombudsman, the public representative to NPR. You can read her latest column at npr.org/ombudsman, where this conversation will continue in just a couple of minutes. Lisa Fesh Shepard will field your questions in a live chat in just a couple of minutes. That's at npr.org/ombudsman. For even more funding credit controversies, you can head over to our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Alicia, thanks very much for being with you.
Thank you.
Tomorrow it's Science Friday, and Ira Flatow will be here. I'll be back on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.